Let's turn over to the book of Jude. And we're going to start reading the setting here, and it's not a long chapter, but we're not going to read it all. It's Jude begins warning about those who've turned the grace of God into something it's not. They turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, which actually in the word is a license to be a sinner. And that's actually what it is. And so, Brother Surface has always asked the question, this here was probably 60 years after Calvary, after the crucifixion and Jesus ascended. And already those apostles were saying that, hey, there are those that have come in that have changed grace into something that it's not. And what they changed it to was somehow something that gave a person a license, an okay to be a sinner, an okay to continue in sin. He's always asked the question, if 60 years after Calvary they changed the grace of God, who changed it back? Who, over the years, over the centuries, changed it back? And the truth is, it got much worse. They kept changing it into something that it's not. But Paul wrote, and these other apostles, Paul wrote words like this, said, sin shall not have dominion over you because you're not under the law, you're under grace. And grace was the reason that sin lost its dominion, its power, its presence in the life of a child of God. And when you hear grace and it's not telling you that, that's because it got changed, starting about 60 years after Calvary, and it just kept changing. And so Jude is telling of this, a warning of this, and then telling of those that would come. But he also tells, but there's coming a day that the Lord's going to come to execute judgment against those, their ungodly speeches, of their hard speeches. And he's talking about their turning of his word into something that it's not. And that's the 15th verse, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. 16th verse, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust. You know, I don't believe that anyone walking with the Lord is a murmurer or a complainer. I don't believe that. And I'm not going to say that sometimes we don't get a lot of people murmuring, complaining in the church house, but I don't believe that anyone walking with the Lord is a murmurer or a complainer. And he says, but these are murmurers and complainers, walking after their own lust, their mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. All that, he says, that they have persons in admiration because of advantage. You know, we touched a few weeks ago, Paul said, he said, I would not have you in word or letter to think of me above anything that you hear or see me to be. What's he saying? He said, I don't want to build up. If we gathered together and Paul was saying, if I begin to minister and the presence of God comes, then you'll know you've been in the presence of God. But I don't need someone going before saying, here's the mighty man of God with power coming, so that it's built up in the people something that's not there. He said they have advantage or admiration because of advantage. But beloved, remember you the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time. You know what a mocker is? I know almost every boy has done this sometime. Someone says something, as soon as the word comes out of the mouth, they're repeating them. Doesn't it drive you batty? They're repeating, they're mocking. Are you mocking me? Are you mocking me? They're mockers. And we think of a mocker, and sometimes they are, as someone just out making fun, making light of something. But actually, the mocker is an imitator. Imitator. And their walk with God is an imitation. You know what an imitation is? How many have ever had something that was an imitation? It wasn't the real thing. It looked like the real thing unless you looked real close. It was presented as the real thing, but it wasn't. It was an imitation. And Brother Surface said something, was it Wednesday night? And he said this, you know, people say practice makes perfect. He says, I say practice makes hypocrites. Does anyone understand that? That a child of God is not an imitation. They are the real thing. Amen. You know, and there's so much that has little bits of truth in it about you need to imitate Christ and you need to imitate this. But John writes, he said, beloved, now are we the sons of God. We're not imitations, we're children of God. If so be you are born of the Spirit of God with His heart and nature within. And you're not an imitation, but you can stand up and be what God has made you to be. But he said, in the last day, there would be mockers. There would be imitations. Walking after their own ungodly lust, these be they who separate themselves. This is what separates them. And really, this verse is our text this morning. These be they who separate. This is what separates them. He says, sensual. Having not the Spirit. I'm going to look at a couple words before we go on. One is the Spirit. Most of the places where it's referring to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, it'll have, even in the Greek, definitive article, what we call it, the. There's actually not here. So I can't say that I know actually 100% exactly what he's saying there, because he very well could be saying that they're essential not having Spirit. And there's much we can minister and some things on our heart this morning. But the word sensual. Now, when we think of the word sensual, we think of a sensual person. And our minds go through a lot of different things. But the word sensual, actually, in most of the way that it's translated and used from that language in the Bible, simply means natural. It's all that it means. Is that this is what separates them. The natural, or another word would be carnal. Natural, earthy, and you say, well, it's natural to be natural. Well, that's a profound statement. Natural to be natural. And there are things that are natural to the kingdom of God and things that are natural for the children of God. But I want to speak and to remind some, and some may have never heard, that you are indeed, and we've got a lot that are indeed children of God in this place. It is not what was natural to you all your life. It's a new natural. There was a change, and the Scripture calls it being born again. A new birth that took place. And I want to tell you, child of God, if you're a child of God, you are not just a natural man, young woman. You are not just a natural one. Why? Because the Spirit of Christ dwells within you and you are born again. And you are not an imitation. And your walk with God does not come out of your ability or learning how to imitate or to walk like Christians walk. It issues out of the Spirit of Christ within a new heart, a new spirit, a new birth that revolutionized not just what you do, but what you are. And he said, but there are those that are going to come. He says, this is what separates them from you. And he uses a word that's not an evil word, but it tells a big story. He said, they're natural. They don't have Spirit. Or they don't have the Spirit. There's some things. Have you ever had anything in life that you tried to explain to someone that was impossible to explain? How something tasted? If they've never tasted something like it, how do you describe that to them? Even how something looked? I've said this over the years. You can take a person that's born blind and describe a tree to them. Describe it in its height, its glory, its color. You can describe the molecules that make it up to the point that they can become an expert on a tree and know nothing about a tree. You say, why would they know nothing about a tree? They would know more than you. Yeah, but you got to see a tree. How many believe that? To understand a tree, you got to see a tree. And there are things with the Lord that truly are impossible for the natural man with natural words to explain. And yet the children of God know them. It's because it's like they've seen the tree. They know what it is to have a new birth, the Spirit of Christ within. And what is natural to them is not natural. But it's natural to them. It's a new nature. It's a divine natural. But he spoke of those. He said, but this is what separates them. They come to church, and I want to hear me. I'm not beating up on anyone. They come to church. They sing the songs. They clap their hands. They know the doctrines. They know all the words. But something is different. Because something is not there. And he says, they have not the Spirit. They have not Spirit. Jesus spoke when he told Nicodemus that you must be born again. Nicodemus was raised, we'll call it church, they call it the synagogue. You know what he learned about as a child? He learned about Samson and Delilah. He learned about Abraham and Isaac. He learned about Moses parting the Red Sea. He learned about the plagues upon Egypt. He learned about David killing a giant. He learned all these things, and he learned the psalms and the songs and the rituals of their faith and religion. And now he's a teacher, and he's teaching these things to other people. And he comes to Jesus, and he said, good master, what must I do? What must a man do to inherit the kingdom of God? And I don't believe that when he's asking Jesus, he's asking for himself. I believe he's probing Jesus. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus would have been a better Christian than maybe most of the Christians you know today. I'll say that again. Nicodemus would have been a better Christian than maybe most of the Christians you know today. And Jesus was telling Nicodemus, you must be born again. The kingdom of God, and I want you to hear me, is not made up of natural creations. But it's made up of those who were natural that are born of the Spirit of God. That there's been a new birth. And Jesus said that which is born of the Spirit is what? Is Spirit. That which is born of the Spirit. Not an imitation. Not a how-to. Not I'm going to learn how to make it happen. Not all these things. It's not I'm going to come to church and I'm going to sing the songs and I'm going to say the words with everybody and I'm going to learn the doctrines and all this. And I want to tell you that sometimes as preachers we become satisfied with because maybe we can fill a church that way. But do you know, and I know that you know, that there's never been a single soul enter the kingdom of God that wasn't born again? How many know that? Do you understand that this building was packed to the walls, and I could teach people what to sing and what to say and how to rejoice and how to do that? Packed to the walls. Yet that brother Kawia would not add a single soul to the kingdom of God. And I'm afraid that we live in an hour that we have forgotten that. Brother Surface mentioned something, I don't know if it was last Sunday night, the last ad we ran in Charisma magazine as far as offering the commentaries and the books. But it was reference to the Supreme Court decision, in a sense, in the eyes of the court, making gay marriage a constitutional right. So many things that goes with, absolutely contrary to the Scripture, the Word of God. But the article heading was this. In a religious magazine, probably the most circulated religious magazine probably in the world, was this: how we lost America. Some said, we didn't lose America. Yes, we did. That's just the truth. It's not turning back. It's not going back. It is being fitted for its hour of judgment. And someone says, well, that, no, you've got that all wrong. Well, you just live and you will see. But the thing that stood out about that, and we didn't plan it, we didn't know anything about it. This was Charisma Magazine's 40th anniversary. And so they did a full page spread, 40 different pages, on ministry figures that changed the world. And from any group or belief or persuasion under the umbrella of Christianity, you can find it. And so this, I want you to kind of see the setting. It leads up shouting the praises. Shouting the praises of the 40 men and women of God that changed the world over the 40-year history of Charisma Magazine. And they end up with the very last one, which was at one time the head of the largest full gospel denomination movement, and how he changed the world. And then right across the page, the full page ad, something we didn't plan, we just sent in an ad, didn't know anything about it, were the words, "How we lost America." And I'm not going to go into all that. But to go back, if you can see the irony of it all, that you go back 40 years to a nation carrying the gospel to the world, that its moral system is based on the Word of God, that what it lifts up is the Word, that the whole world looks to it for even its spiritual leadership, whether they should have or not, looks to America. And over 40 years of trumpeting what men have done and what men do and how great men are, the nation is lost. You say, I don't see that. You keep watching. Our nation is leading the world in everything that is anti-God. Sister, you're from Rwanda. Brother Kawia, Tanzania, that's right. Our nation is punishing those nations over there that won't agree with our stand on what marriage is. They are. Our nation was doing that before the Supreme Court decided. is punishing those nations. Our nation is the leading exporter of pornography. Our nation is the leading exporter of that which mocks God in the Word of God. And you say, you don't like, I love this nation, but I do see the course that it has chosen. But I thought of the irony to stand up and proclaim, we change the world. Yes, but is this the change that the world needed? We've forgotten that being a child of God is more than a religious persuasion. It's a birth from heaven that makes a new creature. He says this is what separates them. This is what separates them. I want to talk about a couple things. The Apostle Paul, he went and preached the gospel. He said, I became all things to all men. Oh, how sometimes that's perverted. He says, to the Jew, I became as a Jew. To those that are under the law, as under the law. To those that are without law, as without law. And it's something that I have realized, that my cultural customs or my religious customs don't hold any merit with God or in preaching the gospel. The gospel is a universal message to every nation and kindred. And it's not based upon my traditions. It's not based upon your traditions. It's not based upon American traditions. It's based upon the Word of God. And so Paul would preach the gospel, and he said, if I go to those without law, I don't come with the traditions of the law. If I go to those that are Jews, I don't come like a Gentile. But if I go to the Gentiles, I don't come like a Jew. But then he makes a statement. He's saying, but being never without law to God. I want to ask you this. If someone released you from every law of man, from every expectation of man, that theft was no longer illegal, that immorality was no longer wrong, that backbiting and maliciousness were as acceptable as love and joy in society, and no one would judge you, and no nation would judge you, and no law would judge you, what would you be? You know what a child of God would be? What they are right now. Because regardless of the laws of culture or society or nations, they are what they are because they're born of God. Not because they're under the umbrella of our societies. That's what separates them. The Spirit. Do you hear this morning? Someone told me, and I've heard this, and I'm sure they've heard it in every age, it's much harder, more difficult to live for God today than it was back 50 years ago. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, 50 years ago, in our society, you didn't have filth on the streets. They would put them in jail. 50 years ago in our society, a woman could go anywhere and expect not to hear profanity. I mean, remember that. 50 years ago, you wouldn't expect our youth to laugh, to curse, to mock any elder. But as a nation, we respected our elders and the elderly. And so it's easy to think that it would have been so much easier to live for God then than now. And that's not true. You say, well, why isn't it true? Because if you were just natural, that might be the case. But being born of the Spirit of God, your walk with God never was based upon the society around you. It was based upon that divine birth and that divine communion with God Himself, regardless of the world that you lived in. Oh, that doesn't mean that I don't look and say, "But things were better off." You ask just about any teacher, and they'll tell you things were better off when the students came to class and the teacher said, "You close your mouth," they were going to close their mouth. But children of God, your walk with God is not based upon these things. If you're a child of God, you'd be what you are if you was living in the dark ages. You'd be what you are if you was living in the vileness of that Roman Empire. You'd be what you are. Oh, there'd be cultural things that would change. But what's in your heart and the law of God written within would still be there. Let's go to 2 Timothy 1. And it's Paul to Timothy. Third verse, he's writing to Timothy, Paul is, "I thank God whom I have served from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I might be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois, your mother Eunice, and persuaded that is in you also." And Paul said, "I remember an unfeigned faith." Unfeigned, we mostly think of unpretended, but it's more than that. It's not disassembled. It's not worked up. It's not propped up. It's not put up. It's not pretended. You're not persuaded into it. It just is. It's an unfeigned faith. It just is. And Paul's writing to Timothy about their faith, and the faith in the Lord, and his belief of the gospel. And he didn't say it always was there, but he's remembering Timothy, and he says, "Timothy, that was in you, that faith, that reality." Do you know someone that the reality with the Lord, it just is. It's not because you preach down to them or preach up to them. It's not because you push them into it or tell them you need to be doing this. It just is. They love the Lord. He's real to them. They believe the gospel. He's their life. It's unpretended. It's not put together. It's not put up. It just is. That's a wonderful thing. That comes by the Spirit of God. He says, "Wherefore I put you in remembrance, that you stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." This setting, it's in one sense, it is saying the same thing as we read in Jude. In Jude, he's talking about that which separated the believer from the unbeliever was not what they professed to believe.
It's one had something in them that was of God. And the other may have been very, very good as far as natural terms, but it was all them. It was just natural. It was earthy. It was carnal. Well, here he's writing to Timothy. Paul is, and he's saying, I remember a faith that just was. How many have ever tried to pump up your faith? I know most of us have been there, needed a miracle, a touch from the Lord, and then tried to believe hard enough because people told us we needed to believe hard enough. I've seen it as a minister, and so people come up trying to believe, and it looks like their head's going to explode trying to believe God. Well, that's not faith. But in simple, in love, and belief of the Lord, he says, Timothy, you wasn't working it up. You wasn't pumping it up. You wasn't making it happen. It just was. But he begins to talk to Timothy really as a minister. And he says, I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God. You know, as a child of God, we sang that song, You Ought to Been There, when the Lord saved me. I'm sure glad I was. So glad I was. He's carried me for over 32 years. I've been real dumb at times. I've done a lot of things without thinking. I've made some messes. But there's been that difference there all the time. A difference I couldn't explain many times. It just was. One day it wasn't. The next day it was. But it wasn't too long I began to feel the call into ministry. To serve in the Lord. How many here have felt that call to serve the Lord? Maybe not as a preacher. Sister Bernie, you have a call to serve the Lord. I know that. But it wasn't my call. But as ministers of Christ, you know what separates a minister from Christ from an earthly minister? What they have is spirit. Here's something that I learned a long time ago, and I know. Lord, let me know early on that all ministry proceeds out of the Spirit of God. Doesn't matter what form of ministry, if it's a true God-called ministry, it issues out of the Spirit of God. This is why he's telling Timothy, stir up that gift of God that is within you. And we may be changing gears a little bit, but not a whole lot this morning. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 2, and he's speaking of this ministry that will change those that see it, believe it, from the glory of death to the glory of Christ. But he said, we're made able ministers, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter does what? Kills. Now, it's easy to look at, and it's true, and say, well, we're not here to minister law. No, we're not here to minister law. The law will kill. Doesn't matter how it's dressed up, the law will kill if that's what we minister. But do you understand? I understand that I can stand here from this pulpit and minister letter and say the same things that I'm saying to you this morning. But it's just in my natural mind. It's just something that I've learned, that I've come to have a carnal understanding of, that I've come to be able to fit the words together, to speak, to do, but it's letter. Does that make any sense? A singer can sing a song. I'm blessed by Tricia's singing this morning. Do you know a song can be letter or spirit? A musician can play an instrument. It can be letter or spirit. A teacher can teach a class. It can be letter or spirit. A witness can witness. It can be letter or spirit. And going to the nursing homes to minister, it can be letter or spirit. Going to the prisons, it can be letter or spirit. What is letter? It is natural. It comes out of the natural abilities of man. It's not issuing out of the spirit. I have seen things, if someone says you're just judgmental, then let it be what you think that it is. But I've been in places, well, I've been in this place where someone will sing a song, but I've been places where the beauty of it was wonderful, and I didn't disagree with the style, I didn't disagree with the song, I didn't disagree with anything, but it just came forth in the beauty of it, and it tore me up inside because there was no spirit at all. It was letter. It was earthy. It was carnal. And what did Paul say that does? Kills. Do we know that? Do you know that? That what God has set before you to do, called you as a minister, that you can minister of letter or you can minister of spirit. If you minister spirit, you're a life giver. But if you minister letter, what are you? I'm a killer. We shouldn't use that term. Well, let's say what it is. Because what is worse, to kill the body or to kill a soul? And we minister out of natural, and he says the letter kills. God, I don't want to stand in the pulpit or any place and kill. You say, but you preach good doctrine and you make good analogies and you preach good. He said the letter kills. The spirit gives life. I don't want to stand before God saying, God, I preached for 50 years and the Lord asking me, how many souls did you kill? What are you talking about, Lord? Because you stood separating yourselves. Not having the Spirit, not ministering Spirit. I will tell you this as a minister. It will happen without fail that I can stand up in this pulpit knowing that the Spirit of God has not been upon me, moving through me. And it will happen without fail. Someone will get a hold of me and say, Brother Keith, I think that may be the best thing you ever preached. Happened to you? Natural hears natural. Spirit hears spirit. Jesus said, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. And they are life. I was thinking this morning, Paul wrote in the book of Hebrews, he said, it's time you ought to be teachers. Brother Surface says, if you've known the Lord 3 years, you ought to be a teacher. Amen. You say, well, that's me. It might not be in a Sunday school class, but you ought to be able to open your mouth and share the gospel of Jesus Christ clearly. But he said, it's the time you ought to be teachers and you have need that one teach you again what be the first principles of the oracles of Christ. He's talking about the first principle of precept of a mouthpiece of God. Amen. I'll give you a couple this morning. Let me tell you, the first thing the Lord taught me was all ministry comes out of the Spirit. One of the first precepts of a minister of Christ in any way, shape, or form, if you don't seek God, you can't minister. Why? Because all you have is natural. You can preach, you can teach, you can sing, you can witness, you can go, and all you have is natural. That's not a great advanced precept of the oracles of Christ. That's one of the first precepts of a minister. If we don't receive it from God day by day, we have nothing to give. And I've proved it more than once. I can preach an hour and a half with nothing to give. It's the first precept. Without Spirit, all we have to minister is what? Death. You say, but it's true. Paul said it's death. You say, but it's beautiful. Paul says it's death. First precept. Brother Pilla, if you're stirred to witness to somebody, spend time on your knees saying, God, I can't go with natural. I must go with Spirit. You know what my biggest detriment is as a minister of the gospel? And I dare say, Brother Surfaces, you say, well, it's because you fumble words. No, that's not such a great detriment. Y'all get the point. You say, because you're loud and you're long. Well, I'm working on that, but I keep forgetting. That's not that great detriment. God can still get through. You know what my greatest detriment is as a minister of Christ? Is because I know much of the Word and I can stand and preach out of this. I know how Scriptures go together and I can stand and declare it. And inside be cold and indifferent and callous and self-righteous. The greatest detriment of any minister in any way, shape, or form is that they can do it naturally, but they can only kill. Paul said, stir up the gift of God. Stir up the gift of God. God has not given you the spirit of fear and intimidation. But we live in a world that pleads for natural. Tell us stories, tell us things that we relate to, tell us things that make us feel good about our life. John writes, they're of the world, they speak of the world hears them not. We are of God, the world hears us not. But I can't help anyone of the world by speaking natural. Only if God gives me or you spirit and life, and we minister that spirit and life, can the Holy Ghost carry it into the heart of a natural man. And he says, that's what separates. It's so simple. What? One is sensual. A number of months, you heard me say this three or four services. But someone knows, a friend, I respect. Stood here and just talked about the singing and the music, and he says, you know, we're all in part entertainers. I remember that. He said, because we practice, we develop our talent, we develop all this. From a natural standpoint, you can't argue with that. I got before God. Lord, when I sing Jesus is mine, am I entertaining? Or am I shouting with joy out of the stir and the move in my spirit? When I say, He alone is worthy to worship and adore. Am I entertaining with the smooth flowing melodies? Or is from my innermost being a cry coming out declaring He alone is worthy? And I got before God and I told God, I said, God, I absolutely, absolutely refuse to be an entertainer. I will worship, I will praise, I will preach, and I will seek Your face, but I will not come with a feigned word, a feigned song, but You must give me spirit. Praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet this morning. These be they that separate them. That's the separation. One is spirit. One is natural. One has the spirit. One has the earthy. I can come with earthy, and earthy people will love it. I can come with spirit, and most will despise it. But it might save some of them. I can make more people happy with earthy. But I can't affect them for Christ, not one little bit. I've spoken to the lost, the saved, the ministers. These are the first precepts. These are the foundations upon which a walk with God, serving the Lord, ministering for God, are built upon. It starts with Christ. It ends with Christ. Peter said, such as I have, I give to thee.